So I've got about 25 minutes to cram an entire hour's worth of information in. It's going to be awesome. We're going to take right off. Hey, today is Discover Your Purpose. Now, you may not walk out of here like full confidence knowing this is who I am, this is what God created me for, but we're going to help you to begin to discover your purpose. Quite a few years ago, I got a chance to go to Israel, and one of the things we got to do an archaeological dig. So there was a place south of Jerusalem where we got to go out and dig in one of these, what do they call a tell, which is a hill where these little towns used to be, and we got to go dig in, spelunking, you know, like cave diving and into this little house, and then we were given some tools to dig. And they're like, you have this section and you have this section, and carefully with these tools, we want you to remove the dirt. And as you come across things, be careful not to break them, but you're going to come across like some old pottery and stuff. And so I was able to help to discover some old pottery that had been there for thousands of years. Isn't that cool? Like, but I want you to think about this discovering your purpose as this process where the Holy Spirit takes the tools of the Word and some of the tools that we give you here, and He's going to begin to start to dig and help you discover some things, and you say, wow, I didn't know that was there. I didn't know that God had, He had planted those things years ago. Before you were even in your mother's womb, He knew you. He formed you, knit you together with purpose. With purpose. Ephesians chapter 2, for you are God's workmanship, His handiwork, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So you are created with purpose. And that may be the first time any of you may be sitting here thinking, man, I had no idea. I thought I was just thrown onto this planet and, just here to suck air. Like, aren't you glad that we're not here just to take up space and suck air, that God actually has a purpose and a plan for our lives? And so we're going to begin to discover that today. And you may, with the personality tests and stuff, these are just tools, and we're kind of taking away some dirt, okay? And then the Holy Spirit's going to begin to work in you some of those things. Exodus chapter 6, verse 6 through 7, therefore say to the people of Israel, I am the Lord. I will free you from your oppression and will rescue you from your slavery in Egypt. I will redeem you with a powerful arm and great acts of judgment. I will claim you as my own people, and I will be your God. I will redeem you. I will redeem you. Buy you back. Okay? God not only saved the Israelites from the rule of the Egyptians and freed them from slavery they had been accustomed to for hundreds of years, He went further and opened their eyes to see and understand their significance as His children. He redeemed them and restored them to their purposes as the people of God. He didn't just deliver them from Egypt, send them out into the wilderness and say, good luck to you. Like, I'm going to be your God. I'm going to redeem you. And I'm going to help you find purpose again. At Timber Creek Church, your God-given potential is our mission. Give us a year of your life. Commit yourself to the process. Jesus will change you from the inside out, and we're going to try to help you get there. We're going to help you get there, okay? Number one, if you've got your notebooks, we're going to fill in some blanks here. Number one, you, Y-O-U, have a God-given purpose to discover. You have a God-given purpose to discover. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's masterpiece. Another translation, we are His workmanship. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. He's the Creator God. He created us. It's like I've got a neighbor who's got a shed. He's told me multiple times now. His name's Don. Awesome guy. He tells me all the time, hey, Dan, I've got a shed over here with every imaginable tool. Anytime you need a tool, go over to my shed and you can use whatever you want. It's like we walk into the tool shed and we pick up a tool and we know, I'm not exactly sure what this does, but I know that somebody created it for a purpose. And when it's used for the purpose it was created for, there's nothing like it. And when you discover that you have a purpose and you discover that God's got a specific thing designed for you and you fit into there, it's nothing like it. When you begin to walk in the gifting and in the purposes that God has created you for. Number two, Our unique shape helps us to fulfill God's purpose for our lives. Your unique shape. And you're like, I'm not sure that I like my unique shape. Thank you very much. But God loves your shape. We're going to talk about that in just a minute, what that shape is. But it helps us to fulfill God's purpose for our lives. Number three, God wants us to develop and use the gifts He has given us. Develop. Some of the gifts and some of the talents that God's given you need development. Like, it's okay, you may discover something and say, I'm not sure exactly how God wants to use that. That's okay, there's a process of developing. And God's going to develop those things so that you can use those for his kingdom, is for his glory. The importance of seeing what God sees. Number one, in order to fulfill your God-given potential, you must first see what God sees. Genesis 13, 14 and 15. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, Abram and Lot, traveling together, came to a point in their lives where their herdsmen and their herds and stuff, they got super big, and they were like, hey, let's part directions. Let's go in different ways. And so they parted. Lot separated from Abram. And then God said to Abram, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are. Everybody take a second and just kind of look around you. This is what Abram would have done. Okay, God, I see it. So what? Looks like a bunch of open fields. What do you want? Northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. Think just for a second how awesome that would have been for Abram. To hear God, the creator of the universe, say, everywhere where you can see, I'm giving to you and your descendants. I don't know about you, but if I was Abram, I'd be straining to see as far as I could see. Like way out there, God. Like, I want everything. And I want you as a follower of Christ to have such faith in you where you say, God, everything that I see, everything that I can open my eyes to see, God, I want to receive that from you. If that's what your purpose and your plan is for me, I want to see it. Don't limit yourself by what you have seen in the past. Be prepared for what God's going to show you now. And say, God, whatever I can see, I want it. If that's what you have for me, then I want it for me. If you can see it, you can have it. If you can't see it, you can't have it. Abraham had to be able to see what God saw. In order to see what God sees, we must know Him intimately and spend extravagant time with Him. Spending extravagant time. Listen, Abram couldn't hear from God if he wasn't in a position to recognize God's voice. And he couldn't see what God was showing him to see if he hadn't had that time with Him. God helps people to see. Noah, Moses, Joseph, these were all guys that God spoke to. Noah, God says to Noah, hey, I want you to build a boat. And Noah's like, a what? You want me to build a what? And God gives some instructions for this thing, but he had to be able to see what God was showing him. Same with Moses, same with Joseph. God gave dreams to Joseph. And Joseph had to be able to be in a position to see and believe that what God was speaking to him. There's a guy named Gideon, one of my favorite characters in the Old Testament. It's said of Gideon that he was a mighty man of God. But you know where God spoke to Gideon? Gideon was hiding in a wine press, threshing wheat. Now, I don't know, raise your hand if you are in the habit of threshing wheat. That's surprising, nobody. But you didn't thresh wheat in a wine press. You just don't do that. You press grapes in a wine press. And here's Gideon hiding from his enemies, and God says to him, hey, mighty man of God. And he says, who are you speaking to me? Like, do you not see that I'm hiding from my enemies? Like, I'm a major coward. But God saw something in Gideon, and God sees something in you. And you begin to receive some of these things, and you may have the same reaction that Gideon had. Who, God, me? Do you not know me? Like, are you looking at the same person that I look at in the morning? Right? And so many of the things that we judge ourselves on from the past and things that we've done, and, you know, If we could begin to see our potential in God and see what God sees in us, you got to be able to see what God sees. All of these Bible characters were able to see what God saw and knew what God was asking them to do. What's hindering you from seeing what God sees? Circumstances in your life? Past hurts, habits, hang-ups, hangovers? Right? Like, I can't get past these things. And it's hard for me to see who God sees because I only see me. What's hindering you from seeing what God sees? Unforgiveness? Bitterness? Resentment? Unforgiveness is not God's will for us. And when we hold unforgiveness in our hearts or bitterness or resentment, we're unable to see what God sees in us. Unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment, these things will blind us from being able to see what God sees. Once you see it, number two, you must choose to pursue it. Do you guys remember those pictures? They were real popular back in the 90s. It was a jumbled up picture, and you stood there and you look at it, and you look at it, and you look at it, and you look away and you look at it, and they're like, "Don't you see it? Can't you see? Like there's a pirate ship right there." And you're like, "I don't see anything. You're insane." Like, well, you stand there and you cross your eyes and tilt your head a little bit and you move back and forth and you jump up and down. "Oh, I see it. I see it." Like, you've got to be able to choose to see it. You've got to, at this point, say, there is a purpose for me and I am able to discover God's purpose for my life. You have to choose to discover it. You have to choose to. You have to choose to say, "Yes, God, you have a purpose for me. You've got a plan for me, a plan to prosper me, not to harm me, a plan to give me a hope." You have to choose to see it. You've got to choose to pursue it. Genesis 13, "And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you." Then Abraham moved his tent and went and dwelt in the terebinth tree of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. God's giving instructions to Abram. "I want you to leave the place that you are and go to a place I will show you." He's like, where do I go? There was no response from God. He's just like, "Just go. You just need to begin what? To move forward. I don't know where I'm going, but I know that I can't stay where I was. So I'm going to start moving forward." And then God continues to roll out the promise. "Your descendants are going to be great." "Well, I don't have any children at this point, so how can my descendants be numerous?" Like, you've got to begin to choose to walk in that and pursue it. "I don't see the promise, but I'm going to pursue the promise. I don't see the fruit of it yet, but I'm going to continue to plant seeds in the ground, trusting that in due time, those seeds are going to produce a crop." Are you with me? Like, I can't see it, but I'm going to choose to do the things, the habits, right, the disciplines of the Word. I'm going to continue to do those things because I know that eventually they produce fruit. I don't see it yet. I don't feel forgiveness, but I'm going to forgive. I don't feel those things yet, but I'm going to walk by faith and do these things because I'm choosing to pursue God's purpose for my life. Abraham had to get up and move towards where God was calling him. God wasn't going to bring a divine wheelbarrow, put him in the wheelbarrow, and push him down the road. And some of us are waiting for God to plump you down into a wheelbarrow and take, "Well, I'll forgive God if you make a way, you know. Or I'll do whatever." Like, you have to get up and move. We must also be willing to get up and move out of where we are and move towards where God's calling us to be. What is holding you back from pursuing your purpose and your God-given potential? Is it fear, uncertainty, lack of faith? Is there sin in your life that we need to repent of? And like, I got to get past this thing and start moving forward? Last week we talked about some of the hurdles okay, that keep us from really believing and relying on the truth of God's word in our life? What are some of those hurdles that we're facing? Unconfessed or habitual sin in our lives, it keeps us from being able to live out our potential. If pursuing what God sees sounds risky, if it sounds crazy, that's because it is. Because it's going to take faith. Faith is risky business, and faith embraces uncertainty. And I don't know about you, but for me, like, I want to know all the details. Like, I want to know step 3, 4, and 5 before I ever begin step 1. Is anybody else with me? Like, God, if you're gonna send me in a certain direction, can you guarantee? But God doesn't do that, because he wants us to rely on him. We come up with all kinds of reasons why we can't take the risk or why we're not good enough. But if God can turn shepherds into kings, if God can anoint a guy like David who's out in the shepherd field and say, I'm going to make you king, if he can turn fishermen into disciples and murderers into messengers, if he can take a guy like Saul, who was a great murderer of the church, and turn him into Paul, who wrote the majority of the New Testament, okay, he can most definitely use you and me. Yes, it's risky business at times, but it's a risk, let me tell you, you will never regret taking a risk and stepping out in faith towards God. Number 3, pursuing your God-given potential will require your action and your obedience. Your action and obedience. Like, there are times where God's going to ask you to do something and it doesn't make sense. Like, it doesn't make logical sense to do that. But God, your word is telling me to move in this direction, and it's going to require action and obedience. James 2:17, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. 1 Samuel 15:22, but Samuel replied, what is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, or your obedience to his voice? Listen. Obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering the fat of rams. What is he saying? Old Testament times, okay? Like, this is how they got right with God. They brought sacrifices, and sin had to be removed, or we use a word called atoned for. And so sacrifices were made, and blood of goats and sheep and ox and those things, that was spilled so that sin was forgiven. And that was the process of being made right before God. When I've wronged God and I've disobeyed his commandments, I've got to be made right. So that was Old Testament and New Testament. It all led to the lamb that was sacrificed, the spotless lamb, Jesus, who was crucified on the cross for you and me, dying once and for all, his blood spilt for you and me, so that we don't have to make sacrifices anymore. There's a living sacrifice, and his name is Jesus. Are you with me? Okay? So that sacrifice was made. And so we don't go back to an old law of sacrificial system. And I'm making sacrifices. God's interested in your obedience now. Because of what Christ has done for you, I want you to walk in obedience to me. I don't want you to walk in obedience to me because you're earning the sacrifice. We could never earn what Jesus did for us. And I can't work myself into a place of salvation. I can't do enough sacrifices to make myself right before God. Those Old Testament sacrifices, they could never, it was never enough. You couldn't sacrifice enough animals to get to a right place with God. God sent his son to do that for us. So it's not about us sacrificing anymore. It's about me walking in obedience now. Jesus, what you've done for me, I want to honor your sacrifice for me, and I want to live the life that you've designed me to live. Are you with me? So what are we waiting on? For some of you, the only thing between you and fulfilling your God-given potential is one small step of courage, a small step of action and obedience. Stepping out, for some of you, maybe for a second, third, or fourth time, to say, I'm gonna give it a shot again. Like, I've tried this church thing, and it doesn't always work out for me. But you know what? I'm gonna, by faith, I'm gonna step out again. For some of you, it's for the first time, like this whole church thing, this is like totally brand new. And you say, this is so different than what I had expected. But it's a stepping out in faith. For some of you, you know what God's stirring in your heart to do, but it's going to take courage for you to step out. Let your fear of missing out on God's plan for your life be greater than your fear of stepping out in faith. Like our greatest fear in life, my greatest fear in life is that I get to heaven someday and God says, I had so much more for you, Dan. I had so much more for you. Like if you'd have just stepped out in faith and trusted me. My mom, it's funny, she says, you know, my fear is like I want to make sure I've read the Bible, Genesis through Revelation. It's really important to me because I don't want to get to heaven someday and like meet Daniel and say, hey, you know, or Samuel or hey, Paul, I know you wrote a bunch of letters, but I didn't, you know what I'm saying? Like her fear is like she's going to meet some of these guys and say, I never read your letter. I never read your book, you know. My fear for you is that you'll get to heaven someday and notice that you left a whole lot of potential out there on the table. Man, our goal for you as a church is that you find and fulfill your God-given potential. Like you begin to walk in all that God's designed you to walk in. And you know what? Part of that is just believing that you can. Believing that God has gifted you and he's going to empower you to do what he's called you to do. Most of us want to be absolutely certain before we step out in faith, right? I want to be certain. I want to be, but the problem is it takes faith out of the picture. Like I've got to trust God, and faith is vital for living out our walk with Christ and pursuing our purpose and God-given potential in life. Quite a few years ago, my wife and I, Laura in the back, we felt God moving on our hearts to start a church, to plant a brand new church. And I've never done that before. I don't even know, like what are the logistics of that? How do you do that? But we felt like that was what God led us to do. And so we stepped out in faith and we started with, half a dozen people in our basement. And we just kind of started having church. And over a period of time, we saw God do some incredible things. And now as a church, moved to East Texas, and we're part of Timber Creek Church, this incredible church family, and we're stepping out in faith again, and we're launching a campus in Nacogdoches. And you know what? It may not work. God help us. We're stepping out in faith. We don't have all the answers. We don't have all the certainty, but we're believing that that's what God's called us to do, and we're going to step out in faith and trust. Why? Because there are people in Nacogdoches that have yet to hear the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and we're excited to get out there and invite them to a place where they can make Jesus the center of their life. And it's stepping out in faith and trusting, God, you know all the details, and we're going to trust you for that. So how do I fulfill my God-given potential? Determine your shape. Determine your shape. I just got a few minutes. I'm going to fly through this here. Determine your shape. What does that stand for? We love acronyms around here. We love acronyms. Shape. S stands for spiritual gifts, a set of special abilities that God's given you to share his love and serve others. Spiritual gifts. You have spiritual gifts. Paul said to Timothy, stir up those gifts. Okay, there are things inside of you. That's the cool thing. That's the discovering part, isn't it? That part of you where there are things that are set down in your spirit that you have yet to discover. And God's going to help you discover those things. Your heart, the special passions God's given you so that you can glorify him on earth. Your heart, like the things that you're passionate about. Your abilities. The set of talents God's given you when you were born, which he also wants you to use to make an impact for him. Your abilities. Your personality. And you say, I don't have personality. I lack in the area of personality. No, you don't. It's the special way God wired you to navigate life and fulfill your unique purpose in his kingdom. It's how God wired you. Look at your neighbor and say, this is how I'm wired. Like how you think, how you process information, how you engage with people. That's how God has wired you. Your personality, your experiences, those parts of your past, both positive and painful, which God intends to use in great ways. And I want to pause here just for a second because this is so important. That, you know, all those things that make up your past, God wants to redeem those things. God wants to redeem those things. And most of the times we think that that's going to hinder us. And we just, God, just take it all away. But listen, God doesn't waste a hurt in your life. He doesn't waste those things. And you may have used your gifts and your talents for evil. Listen, God's going to turn around and use those gifts for his good. Okay? God's going to use that very thing that made you so attractive to the world. He's going to turn around and make you attractive for the kingdom of God. Are you listening to me? So all those hurts and things that you've gone through in the past, God's not going to waste. Your shape is unique. He just wants to redeem it. And he wants to take those things that you've gone through in life and put his blood on it and begin to use those things for his kingdom and for his glory. So there are some things that you've gone through in life that God wants to take and redeem and use. Isn't that incredible? Your shape. Number two, match your potential with the opportunities available at TCC. Match your potential with the opportunities. Guys, there are opportunities galore here. There are incredible opportunities for you to serve. Number three, commit to serve on a dream team. Commit to serve on a dream team. I love that we have almost 500 dream teamers here at Timber Creek. Our goal this year is to have 700 dream teamers engaged and involved, not just marking a box saying I served at Timber Creek Church, but 700 dream teamers that are fulfilling their God-given potential, that are using their gifts, whether it's opening a door, whether it's changing diapers in the nursery or playing with kids, whether it's walking around providing a safe environment, whether it's helping out in Cafe Aroma, all these different areas, you beginning to step in and being used for the kingdom of God here at Timber Creek Church, you partnering with us together as a family, doing this thing together. Number four, faithfully and consistently use your shape to make a difference in the lives of others. Faithfully and consistently use your shape. Someone once said the two greatest days in one's life are the day they were born. You're not an accident, sir. Ma'am, you're not an accident. And I don't care how many times your parents or your guardians told you, you are a mistake. Listen to the words that are coming out of my mouth this morning. You're not an accident. You're not a mistake. Do you hear me? You're here for a reason. Before the foundations of the world, God set in motion you. And you're here for a purpose. So the day that you were born, and the second is the day that you discover why. And we're going to help you to discover that. Bonnie?
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Dan.